here. I feel like that I am a novice among leaders this morning, and I respect that. I want to be very cautious. Am I on? I want to be very cautious. My green light is on. I want to be very cautious how I come across. I want to obey the Lord, but I also want to be very respectful to the men that's here, because you are my heroes, and I appreciate it. The preaching has been wonderful. Pastor Rumfeld, thank you for last night. It was wonderful. I'm thankful for that. And I've been happy, happy, happy all day. On the last night at about 11 o'clock, this is way loud up here. At about 11 o'clock, I got a call from Brother Rumfeld, and him and Pastor Jason decided to obey the Lord and lie to me, I guess. And they said, Matt, your truck's broke down. Pastor Rumfeld is stranded on the side of 91st Street. And I run outside, zipping my pants up in the back, run down the stairs, and then they told me that it was just a prank. And so whatever anointing they had, they lost it last night. They may have got it back. But I certainly am glad to be here. It is my mission to get Pastor Jason back, because he was the cause of that. I want you to go with me to Psalm 137, please. Psalm 137 in your Bibles, and I'm going to read a very familiar text. I'm not going to be long. I want you to just listen with me and ask God to help us today. Verse number 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And their sad response was, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? In verse number 1, here we read about the people of God being taken captive. And there they sat down in a state of weeping. I want to be very careful how I say this, but I feel like the people of God has adapted that statement. And they are weeping over what used to be in Zion rather than worshiping about what God is doing now. I agree with everything that Pastor Rumfeld said last night, that there is a God that can do it again. But I am very careful how I say this. But I wasn't back in the 50s. And I wasn't back in the 1800s. And all I can do is hear about it. But to be honest, I am tired of hearing about how it used to be. When I've heard it all of my life. These, man, those were the good old days. I've heard it all of my life. Man, that is whenever God really moved. I don't remember those days. But I do remember some times that I have seen in my own life, my own millennial generation, that has saw God Almighty move on our behalf. I still believe that God can save sinners like He did in Billy Sunday's day. I still believe we can see it again. No, the church house may not be full every service. Hundreds of people may not be walking down the aisle every service, but we're still seeing them come to Christ. We're still seeing sparks of revival across the country and around the world. I still believe that the God that did it back in Zion can still do it in 2018. But I believe that we get in a state where we feel like that it's all about the past. And if we get to the point where all we do is remember what God did back in Zion, it leads us no help for the present, and there's certainly no help and no hope for the future. I want today to talk to you about this, because I remember back in Ezekiel chapter 37, was it not that God took Ezekiel out to a valley of dry bones? And to everybody else, it looked like something that happened way back in Zion. It looked like something that was dead, dry, a has-been, and a used-to-be. But Ezekiel knew that it was just one breath away from a mighty army coming alive. I don't know what they're saying about your church, where you're at today. But preachers, if I could encourage you today to go back to your church that may seem dry, it may even seem dead. People may say they're just barely hanging on and barely surviving. But you are one breath away from God breathing on you, breathing on your church, and having a mighty army once again. I believe that God can do it again. In verse number 3, the captives required the people of God a song, and they couldn't even sing. What a sad time it is, Pastor Jason, we've talked about this, that our people of God get so bound down in the captivity of the world that whenever they go out, it doesn't matter what's required of them of God, they can't do it. This would have been a perfect opportunity for the people of God to rise up and say, I've got a soul. It may look bleak for us. It might not look very promising for us. You may have us in chains, but we've got a soul because we serve the chain breaker, the way maker, the miracle worker. I believe that if the people of God would have stood up right here and said, I've got a soul, oh, it would have been a great testimony. But instead, they were so bound down about what had happened in the past in their own life that they could not look ahead to the deliverance that God could give them. And they did something that day that nobody should ever do. There, you'll see that they hanged their harps upon the willows. If you look in Genesis chapter 4, the harp was invented by a man named Jubal. Just hear me out just for a second. The harp that David played and many people throughout the Bible played was approximately 12 inches wide and 18 to 24 inches tall. Now, I was in a church last week that had two harps, and they were 6 to 8 feet tall apiece. But that's not the way it was back in the Bible days. It was a smaller harp that they could carry in their chest and in their bosom. And here, whenever the people of God got discouraged, they hanged that harp upon the willows and quit singing. But I want to show you today, many people throughout the Bible, Brother Clark, played the harp. You'll find that the descendants of Cain played the harp in the book of Psalms. You'll find that Korah, the sons of Korah, the descendants of Korah played the harp. You'll find that many prophets and in the temples that day played the harp. But who sticks out to me the most that played the harp was no doubt the psalmist David. You'll find throughout all the Bible and all Psalms that David was a man that played the harp. I want to be very careful today. But I want to show you three times in David's life that he let go of his harp. There's three places in David's life that he let go of his harp. He got his mind on other things. The past is what he lived in. And he could not overcome, and he laid his harp down. And he could not have what he used to have with God. I want to show you this. There's three things that the harp represents in David's life. First of all, it represents the fellowship of God. You'll find that any time that David was fellowshipping with God in the book of Psalms, he had his harp out. You will find in Psalms chapter 3 that David is fellowshipping with God in an intimate, supernatural way. And all of a sudden, David is saying, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Thou art the lifter up of my head. In those days, I can see as David starts playing the harp, and he starts communing with God, and starts fellowshipping with God. And he writes Psalm 23 and says, Jesus, you are my shepherd, and as long as I have you, I have no need of want. This is the time whenever David was fellowshipping with God. These are the times that made God say 16 things about David that he's never said about another man. These are the times whenever God said David served his own generation. These fellowshipping times is what made God say about David, you are a man after mine own heart. David fellowshiped with God while playing his harp. Have you laid your fellowship with God down? Have you laid your heart down? Not only did it represent fellowship, it represented the worship to God. You'll see in Psalms chapter 33 and Psalms chapter 43, and I quote, David said, upon the harp will I praise God. Anytime you saw David getting in the glory, he had a harp in his hand. David knew what it was like to shout and praise the Lord with his harp. David said in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise the Lord. But the devil knows that if he can get you to lay your harp down and get you to lay that fellowship with God down, your worship will not be far behind. So not only it represented the fellowship of God, Pastor Jason, it represented the worship of God. But in Genesis chapter 4, Jubal created this instrument called a harp. And I looked it up last night, and his name means to be a leader. If you'll look in throughout the Bible, you'll see many instruments in the band. But one of the main instruments that always led worship was the heart.
Amen.
So this heart not only represented the fellowship of God, the worship of God, but it also represents the leadership that He had in His life. And God knows that if He can get you to lay your fellowship down and your worship down, it won't be long till He has the leadership taken away from you of God Almighty. Have you laid your heart down? When is the last time you really fellowship with God, like Pastor Chris said last night? When is the last time you come into church and you didn't have to have the band and you didn't have to have the drums and you didn't have to have a great moving song because you already worship God before you come in? We are living in a day where the churches are filled with apathetic, dry people because they have laid their heart down. I don't know what your harp is today, but you do. That thing that connects you with God, that thing that keeps you in fellowship and worship and keeps the leadership of God in your life. I want to show you three times in David's life that he messed up and he laid his harp down. If you will go back in the days when Israel was choosing kings, you'll notice that they had seven judges and they were switching to the kingship. And Saul was the first king that Israel had ever chose. And God said, He told Israel, you don't want Saul. He's not what you think he is. This is not going to end well. But at the time, he was better than all the rest. He had a humble spirit. And they chose him anyway. And the only thing in Saul's life that could help calm his nerves during the pressures of kingship was David playing his harp. Something that God gave him a long time ago. And one day, it all changed because David killed Goliath. And all of a sudden, Saul got jealous. And he inquired of David to come unto me and play your harp. But little did David know that day that Saul had hit a javelin in the corner. And while David was sitting there playing his harp, he threw a javelin at David and tried to kill him. Let me ask you a question. Saul is a marksman. He's a warrior. Am I right, Dr. Hutzel? He is a warrior. How did he miss David that day?
Right.
In close range. How did he miss?
Right.
Could it be that David's heart protected him from what Satan was trying to destroy him? He was playing it in his bosom, and it protected him. And Saul didn't lose his heart that day. He fled from the presence of Saul. But later on down the road, if you'll read the Bible, you'll find that David and his men was hid in a cave. And Saul was over the ridge asleep. And one of David's men come up to David and said, David, Saul's asleep. This is a great time for you to get him back for what he did to you. And I can see as David gets up and he gets dressed and he goes to walk out the cave, Dr. Hutzel. And when he walks out of the cave, he sees a harp laying over here by the corner. And the Holy Spirit tells David, David, don't do it. He's my anointed. Stop. I want to fellowship with you. I want you to worship me. Come and sing me Psalms chapter 3. Come and write another song, David. Don't touch God's man. I've anointed him. You ain't got to like him, but you can't touch him. And David threw his heart down that day, and instead he picked up a sword. And whenever he picked up a sword, he went over to Saul's garment and cut it. And immediately, the Holy Spirit convicted him and said, you're going to pay for that. And he paid for it until his dying day. And David laid his heart down that day. And number one, when he laid his heart down, it caused divisions that would last a lifetime. Nowhere else in the Bible do you find David and Saul fellowshipping with each other. Nowhere. They couldn't even enjoy the kingship. They couldn't enjoy the lordship they had over Israel together because David laid his heart down. The devil would love nothing more for us in this building to lay down our heart and pick up a sword and start fighting those that we don't like. Oh, it may be a home. It may be a mom and dad. And you ain't listening to them. You would rather pick up a harp. You would rather cut them. You would rather cause division with them. You cannot throw a javelin and play a harp at the same time. You can't do it. I want to ask you today, are you willing to lay your heart down and cause divisions with those you work with, those you go to church with, those preachers across the street that you may not like what they're doing, but instead of picking up your harp in unity, you're willing to pick up a sword in disgust and try to ruin their life? When you lay down your harp, you will divide friendships and you will divide family. Not only did he cause division in family, and I'm 30 years old, I want to be very careful with this thought, but not only did he divide his family and his friends, he defiled his testimony. I want you to think about this. And this is a powerful thought that we deal with every day. What is the devil trying to put in front of you to get you to lay your heart down? I can see that day as David is in his beautiful home that he had built. And David had a pavilion built that he could have time in the secret place with God Almighty. I can see as David is in that pavilion. It's what separates him from the outside. I can see as David is in there playing his music and writing songs and having fellowship and worship with God. And God is guiding his life and he's playing his harp. But I can see as one day as David walks out of the pavilion and he walks out on his balcony and he sees a woman that is untouchable to him. It's been forbidden by God to David. And David's got his mind on something and he got his eyes on something that was forbidden. I don't know what that is for you today, but you do. I do. That thing that haunts you, that thing that pulls you, that thing you struggle with, just because we're all in the ministry and we're in the office every day, does not exempt us from the flesh. And the devil knows that if we can get our mind wondering that we won't be able to worship, we won't be able to have the leadership of God in our life, we won't be able to fellowship with God. I can see as David looks at the woman. I will be very careful here. You know the time of cleansing and all that was going on. And David got his eyes off of her. And when he walked back through the pavilion, I can see him as he looks over in the corner. And he sees his heart laying there. And the Holy Spirit tells David, stop. Don't do it. You can't play with sin and play a harp at the same time. David, don't do it. Stop, David. You're going to ruin your life. You're going to mess up. You can't play with it. You can't get by with it, David. Don't do it. Come and worship me. Come and fellowship with me. Let me guide your life. And instead, David threw his heart down and chased that which was forbidden to him. I can imagine as he comes back home and he goes to look for that harp and Dr. Hustle is not there anymore. Because you can't play with sin and play the harp at the same time. And I understand that David asked for forgiveness and I'm glad there's a God in heaven. But David, when he threw his harp down, he paid for it that day four times. Baby died, his incest was in his family, his sons were sinners and ended up hanging. It was a bad day for David because he laid his harp down. And he didn't follow God. Have you laid your heart down? Do you have that fellowship with God that you used to have? Do you have that worship that you used to have? Has something come in your life and now it has defiled your testimony and you can't even listen to the Spirit of God tell you which way to go anymore? I want to ask you today to pick up your heart. Leave today. And whatever it is on your mind, whatever it is that haunts you, and whatever it is that you're thinking about in the past, let it go and remember that you can leave camp meeting in a state of victory. I understand that not every day is like camp meeting. And the devil is going to fight you like never before because of the extreme energy that you have got this week. And you feel like that you're on cloud nine and we're all going to go find us a mountain and put a rock on it. And we feel encouraged. But just so you know, the devil's going to work overtime to steal your heart. Brother Epinesh, you can't be happy if you've laid your heart down. I want to have a heart in my hand. I'm done with this thought. I'm not going to be long. I'm done with this thought. Not only did David divide family and friends, not only did he defile his flesh, but can you imagine whenever David was an old man and he was dying, Solomon went up to his bed. Brother Ledbetter, if I'm wrong, you can correct me. He went up to his bedside and Solomon, I can see him as he says, David, you're dying. David said, yeah, I know I'm dying. I'm an old man. Solomon said, Dad, is there anything you'd like to do before you die? Is there anything you'd like to play? Maybe you'd like to play me one of those songs that you played a long time ago when I was a little boy. Would you like his harp and maybe you can play it one more time? And David said, no, not interested in playing a harp. But do you remember that day a long, long time ago that I was being chased by Absalom? And Shimei threw dirt on me and called me a son of a liar. Do you remember that? Solomon said, yeah, Dad, I remember that, but that was a long time ago. Let's play the harp. Dad, let's get into glory one last time before you die. And David said, no. I want my last word to you to be, Solomon, you go get Shimei and make sure the gray hairs of his head are covered in his own blood whenever he dies. David died when he laid his heart down. David died a bitter man over something that happened a long, long time ago. If you lay your heart down, you lose that fellowship with God. You lose that worship of God. You let God quit guiding and leading your life. You'll divide family and friends that you'll never get again. You'll defile your flesh. And whenever it all comes down to it, you'll die a bitter old man because you can't get over what happened to you a long, long time ago. I want to encourage you today. I'm a young man. I'm 30 years old. I feel like I don't even need to be up here speaking in front of such leaders. But Pastor Jason, Dr. Mike, I saw too many preachers. I was raised in a preacher's home, for you that don't know me. My dad was a pastor for 25 years full time. That's all I remember. That's all I ever know him. My dad had camp meetings and conferences every year for 20 years. And over the past 10 years, I've just started marking them off in pencil that used to preach, that I used to look up to, that I used to love, that has laid their hearts down. I'm talking about the men that I used to look up to, the men that I absolutely love, the men that have signed my Bible. And now I've had to call them myself as a young man and say, why? You let me down, man. I loved you. I looked up to you. And they don't even have an answer. They don't have an answer for me. Their only answer is, I'm sorry. But somewhere down the road, they laid their heart down. And they lost their fellowship with God. They lost their worship with God. And they lost the leadership in God's life. I'm not telling you preachers what to do today. But for me, would you go home and not to divide? For us young millennial generations that is seeking the right direction for their life, please don't defile yourself. And please don't die bitter. Let it go. I saw things happen to my dad. I saw things happen to Pastor Jason since they've been here. I have been full-time at three different churches now. Things that even happened in my own life. And if we're not careful, we can let the bitterness overtake us. And you cannot have a bitter life and play a harp at the same time. I don't know about you today, but I don't want to lose my heart. That's right. Amen.